This is Jay Sekulow with 3 days left in the Obama administration. Again, Israel under attack.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
That is one of the reasons why we at the United Nations made the decision we made, because we believe that Israel has a major choice and the Palestinians have a major choice. The choice we put to Israel is, if you want to be a Jewish state and you want to be a democracy, you cannot be a unitary state.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is why the Palestinian Foreign Minister's immediate reaction to the resolution and Secretary Kerry's speech was to declare, and I quote, "No to Israel as a Jewish state." In this rare moment of honesty, the Palestinian leader admitted that this conflict is not about so-called settlement, but about the refusal to accept the Jewish state of Israel in any borders.
Was it your decision to abstain?
Yes, ultimately.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, this is really unprecedented. You've got an administration that is literally out of office in 3 days. In 3 days, the administration of President Obama comes to an end. Tomorrow, we're going to play a list of the greatest hits of this administration, then I don't plan on playing those ever again. That's going to be the plan anyways. But you've got 3 days left, and Secretary Kerry and President Obama are still going after Israel. In fact, you had a joint resolution. I know this was discussed on the broadcast yesterday. That joint resolution was a resolution passed by 70 countries. The only country to vote no was the United Kingdom. And this was another one demanding the return to the pre-67 borders, which are the armistice lines, which are completely not defensible, period. And this doesn't stop. And yet John Kerry says he is the best friend of the state of Israel. Take a listen.
We're trying to do is speak as a good, solid best friend of Israel. And we've done more for this government, more for Israel than any other administration.
I don't know. What are they talking about?
When good friends disagree, they don't do so publicly.
And not at the UN,
and they don't do
sure.
it at the Security Council. They don't air their grievances and then abstain in votes and put their grievances up for a vote. They handle it behind closed doors. I think what we saw is that President Obama may have been a very effective communicator on the large-scale stage as a diplomat, as a deal maker. And we saw this when he praised Joe Biden. I think it's probably correct. He could never get the deal done. He was not the deal maker. That was not his thing. He was the grand speech, but didn't really hit, make the deals. And so now you see that the big speaker likes to make these big moves on the international level to garner attention yep. for himself, which is what President Obama did here. And Secretary Kerry, remember, they have not been able to make a deal or negotiate on anything but the Iranian nuclear weapons deal.
And that is not even, because
Iran
of our lawsuit.
To Obama.
Yeah. And when we know there's really no deal there. So, Than, there are literally 72 hours left of this administration, roughly. This is unprecedented.
Nothing like finishing strong, right, Jay? Or maybe yeah. I should say weak. Unlike doing everything for Israel, they have done everything to Israel. And, Jay, I yeah. would just say this. It is now clear that the United States is in third place when it comes to defending Israel. And maybe that's even being generous. But Russia and the United Kingdom, they're now clearly outpacing this administration when it comes to coming to the aid of Israel. It's a very sad statement to make 72 hours before the end of the term.
I mean, I love this headline from Haaretz, the Israeli, it's a left-leaning paper. In a rare move, Britain blocks the EU Council from adopting Paris Peace Summit statement. This Paris Peace Summit statement would have been an absolute disaster. All right, your comments, your conclusions, your statements on the outgoing Obama administration and the relationship with Israel. We'll take your calls, Logan, and let you know how you can engage right now.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110 to get on the air. Again, that's 1-800-684-3110. Be on the broadcast. You can also join us on Facebook and Periscope. We're broadcasting live, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Not only do you get to see us and talk to us during the breaks, many of your comments end up on the air. They're pouring in right now, and we are going through them. And know that each and every comment, even if it doesn't make it on the air, is read by someone here at the ACLJ. So it's really important for you guys to log on there and get your comments. But phone lines are open, like you said, at 1-800-684-3110.
I'm going to talk about this when we come back from the break. But you remember, Than just pointed this out. You remember when we said we're going to the other P5 nations? And that included Great Britain? That was the reason why. It's exactly what our strategy was. All right, we'll take more of your calls at 800-684-3110. We've got an email out on Israel. Respond to it at ACLJ.org.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So the United Kingdom blocks the European Union from adopting this resolution that would make Israel completely indefensible. Now, this was part of the outreach we did. Look, folks, this is why we don't just talk about it on this broadcast. We have our Office of Government Affairs, our work at New York and the UN. We have lawyers there, lawyers in Strasbourg, France, lawyers in Geneva, lawyers all over the globe. But this is why we went to work on this, and government affairs professionals like Than Bennett. So then we reached out directly to the P5, knowing that the United States would not be the blocking point on this latest disastrous resolution, but that hopefully somebody else would be. We even reached out to Russia on this.
Yeah, that's right. Sent them a long legal letter articulating exactly why they should block it, Jay. And listen, we've been very honest with our listeners. This has been a bleak several weeks for Israel. It still is. But listen, we reached out to the other members of the P5 to try to mitigate the fallout caused by the United States for this precise reason. So, you know, the silver lining here is that this is a victory for Israel. We've mitigated the damage caused by the United States. It's not a good situation.
No.
But on this particular point, this is a win for our members. The United Kingdom stepped in and filled part of that void created by the United States.
Yeah, part of the reason the United States void was filled in by the UK is the UK is fully aware that there's about to be a new sheriff in town come Friday, and that's going to be Donald Trump. And the policy on Israel is going to be markedly different. So what you have is I think it was a smart move of the UK, and that's what, again, folks, we blocked this. I mean, there's going to be a UN, we're going to play some Danny Danone comments from the United Nations, we'll get those ready. But the fact of the matter is, the reality is that this will be blocked because of the UK's efforts here.
Yes, not because of the United States. Nope. In fact, this would probably be on an even faster track to do it while the Obama administration was there, just to ensure an abstention, but for the UK. Now, they've got to remain strong. They don't really, I think, like getting a lot of attention on these matters. Remember, they did vote yes on that UN resolution. So they have an interesting balance there. But they could play the good guys in this issue and really send a strong message, flex their muscles. They're also a permanent member of the Security Council. You know, we talk about this terror threat, too. I think it's worth reporting that 2016 has now been recorded as the deadliest year in suicide terrorism.
Yeah,
now, we know that these attacks occurred just recently in Jerusalem.
Yep.
469 suicide bombings carried out by 800 perpetrators in 28 countries, causing the death of about 5,600 people. The Islamic State is the lead perpetrator,
but not the only one,
for approximately 70% of the suicide bombing in the world. And since 2005, and Christian Post has put out, just for people to understand this, since 2005, at least 900,000 plus Christians have been killed only for their faith in Christ. So nearly a million people.
Unreal.
And all linked really to Islamic terror.
So John Kerry doubles down on that, Israel, you can't be a Jewish state and a Democratic state. I mean, he doubles down on this again. With 3 days left in the administration, we have that sound? Let's go ahead and play it.
That is one of the reasons why we at the United Nations made the decision we made, because we believe that Israel has a major choice and the Palestinians have a major choice. The choice we put to Israel is, if you want to be a Jewish state and you want to be a democracy, you cannot be a unitary state. And right now, they're marching down the road because of the increased settlements, because of the absence of a legitimate negotiation towards that possibility. So,
the absence of a legitimate negotiating partner might have been the more appropriate term. And that is, the Palestinian Authority has no desire, nor does Hamas, and that's Fatah and Hamas, that's who runs the Palestinian Authority, to see a Jewish state. In fact, Danny Danone, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, who we are friends with, we work very closely with his office, he had this to say exactly on this point. The Palestinians will never recognize a Jewish state under any circumstances. Here's Danone.
This is why the Palestinian foreign minister's immediate reaction to the resolution and Secretary Kerry's speech was to declare, and I quote, "No to Israel as a Jewish state." In this rare moment of honesty, the Palestinian leader admitted that this conflict is not about so-called settlement, but about the refusal to accept the Jewish state of Israel in any borders.
And that is precisely and exactly correct. There is no doubt about it. This is the position we advocated, that this was the reality of what was going on the ground. We've written a book about it, and I've got another book coming out at the end of October on the Israel issue. But let me tell you this. Let me take it a step further here, folks. This is serious. And that the administration is doing this literally with 72 hours to go is unprecedented. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls, comments as well at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Pat in Wyoming.
Hi, Pat. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, great job, guys.
Thanks.
Tell me, how can you have a two-state solution when there's only one state? Palestine is not a state.
Well, look. You're absolutely correct. And the Palestinian, first of all, there was never a state of Palestine. I want to make sure everybody understands this. There was never a state of Palestine. There was when Israel was declared as an independent state in 1948 and the resolutions that went through there, there was going to be a partitioned area, also a Palestinian area. They did not want that. But the rest, those folks were all part of Jordan or Egypt.
They're Arabs.
They're Arabs. And they had those homelands. So the fact of the matter is there has never been a Palestinian state. So when we call for a two-state solution, that sounds really great, but there never was a Palestinian state. Now, the Americans under John Kerry and Barack Obama have tried to make it as if the Palestinian Authority is a state, but they are not a state, although these resolutions have caused a lot of danger because of the last one coming out of the UN, out of the Paris Peace Summit, where they thought it was going to be the final nail, so to speak, in this situation. The reality is, and this is good, we reached out to the UK and we reached out to a number of other the P5 countries, and we got the UK, not just us, but the administration as well. But we were able to get it blocked, and that's really important.
I think, too, to be fair, most Israelis, though this would be something new, would favor the creation of a Palestinian state with the right conditions. Now, to most of us, these conditions seem easy if you could get your own state and self-determination that they so want. At least that's what they desire. Like, for instance, you've got to recognize the other state that you're being birthed out of. So Israel, you've got to recognize what it is as a Jewish state and that its capital is Jerusalem. Those three right there are the main barriers for Palestinians receiving a state of their own. So that's how radical the regime is. They are denying their own people and the propaganda that they've put in, their own self-determination and their own state. I think it's because of those main three issues right there. They will not recognize the state of Israel.
Right.
They won't recognize it as a Jewish state or Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And so that is why, and they can blame themselves, that is why there is not a Palestinian state today and why the peace talks have not even happened or occurred under the last 8 years of the Obama administration.
All right. We're getting comments coming. We're taking your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, what are we hearing?
Yeah, a lot of comments. Thank you, JCLJ, for all you do for defense of Israel. Why did the president wait until the last minute to do this digital? That's from Gail.
All right. Well, Gail, here's the reason why I didn't want Thana to comment on this. He could not have done this if this was during his main term, because the Democratic opposition would have been, even within the Democratic Party, would have been overwhelmingly negative. And this was post any elections. So this is what he thought the entire time. This is how he viewed it. who's a pro-Palestinian approach to this whole thing. But then, I mean, that's the reason that it came, it's coming here. What's so unprecedented is literally 3 days to go.
Jay, there would have been tremendous political fallout inside of his own party, and he knew that. Listen, the only reason it got this far in the first place was because of his weakness, but it is so clear, and we said this in advance, this is not just hindsight, this was calculated, yep. And I think the proof of that, Jay, is now the UK bending, if you will, to Donald Trump, the incoming president's pressure. Listen, that is the authority and the power that the United States should play in the world. The outgoing president used it. He just used it in a subtle way. Donald Trump, he hasn't even taken the oath of office, and he's starting to change the world opinion on the issue.
You know, there's an interesting headline in the Times of Israel. It says, fears of a new resolution dulled UN Security Council to gather Tuesday. So they're meeting today. They're meeting right now. And that the Jerusalem's concerns that the Paris meeting could lead to fresh anti-Israel mood faded with Kerry's reassurances to Netanyahu. I think that's incorrect. I think the reason that it faded was because the United Kingdom voted no, and therefore blocked the EU from adopting it. I think that's the reason it faded.
Yeah, the EU could not adopt it because of that no vote. And if it can't go through at the EU, it's not happening at the UN Security Council. So, again, if the UK did not take this move, what we were warning about, that final potential move by the Obama right. administration, not just words but actions, I think would have moved forward. I think that it's the UK standing in the way of this, not the United States. I think it would have been another abstention from the U.S., and the reason why the Obama administration can say today that there won't be any more action at the UN Security Council is because they lost the battle. And it goes back to what I said. They're not, even when I don't agree with what they want to do, they're very bad at making deals.
They can't execute.
Remember, they got kicked out of the whole negotiations, the peace talks in Syria between the Russians and the Syrians, the Assad regime, and ISIS and the rebel groups. We're not even allowed in those talks. Right. Because of how poorly, remember, it goes back to Hillary Clinton, that stupid reset button,
right?
Which wasn't even spelled rightly, and it meant something different. And again, I think that it's just time for something new, and yet we cannot forget they are still, they've got these couple days left, and these guys are not going, they're like kind of like cockroaches, they're not going away until the final moment.
Now, I'll tell you what you're going to have to watch here, folks. Watch the Gitmo. Watch, you got 72 more hours. We're on alert on all of this. We're not taking anything for granted here. All right, we'll take more of your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we'll take comments as well.
That's right. Get us on Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/JaySekulo to get your comments in. Also to watch us and talk to us during the break. Exclusive videos just for you guys again. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulo. There are three lines open, though. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your comments, at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
So 3 days left, and the Obama administration still trying to take it to Israel. Fortunately, the United Kingdom blocked it, and we reached out to the United Kingdom. And I want Than to explain really quickly what we did here, folks, because understand, we knew to reach out to the other members of the permanent five at the UN Security Council because we knew the U.S. wasn't going to block it. In fact, the U.S. signed this joint resolution. The problem is the U.K. blocked it, and that means the EU could not adopt it. So we effectively ended this nonsense, and it's a victory. But explain to everybody what we did, Than.
Well, we sent them a legal letter explaining the justification that this could not be allowed, that this had to be blocked, and the United States was going to stand down. Jay, I don't think the United Kingdom thought the United States was going to stand down, and that's why they didn't do it the first time around, which was a mistake on their part. Fortunately, they've come around. Hey, Jay, real quick, here's the proof of this. The PLO, after this happened, their statement, it was a press statement, but it said, we were expecting the United Kingdom in particular to play an effective role in the international system that rejects the Israeli occupation. Jay, they thought the United Kingdom was going to go along with this. I think we convinced them.
Yeah. I think all of our efforts bore real fruit here. So, again, when you sign those petitions and allow us to engage on that kind of level, it makes a huge difference. And you actually saw that difference play out in Paris. So good news there that we were able to block that disaster from happening. I still don't like the tone of it. Doesn't matter, though. It's not going to be a United Nations resolution. It's not going to go any further. But as Jordan said, I just put nothing by this administration with just moments to go here. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's go to Flint in Fontana, California. You're on the air.
Hi, Flint.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, you know, I just want to say a couple of things. I'm extremely appalled at Obama. Thank God that he's on his way out. I can't believe that somebody calls themselves an American and they've done what they've done to this country and especially what they've done to Israel.
Well, look, it's a free country. He has a worldview. He was elected president. He tried to implement it. Fortunately, the end game here, we blocked the last one. I say the last one, Flint. I'm not even sure it's the last one because with this administration, it would take nothing for granted. But look, this was a good blocking move we engaged in, and we block. So I think it was a successful blocking here, and that's what we're looking at. Logan, what do you have next?
All right, continue on. Some comments have come in. This from Bev said anything in the meantime, I guess in the next couple of days, can be done to stop the betrayal of Israel from this administration.
Well, I mean, Jordan, this brings up the point of, you know, what he's also done, and no one's talking about this, is this really put the Trump and incoming Trump administration, who's diametrically yes. opposed to all this, yeah. in a position where they've got to move very, very quickly on the Israel to reassure the Israel election. And I think that's why the UK blocked here,
it's
by the way.
Why we're so focused on it so late in the game is that this is directly impactful to the Trump presidency from day one. So from Friday on, they are going to have to work under this new paradigm at the United Nations Security Council, where this damage has been done to Israel, our number one ally in the Middle East. Some would say our number one ally in the world, but certainly in the Middle East. And now the damage needs to be undone. The ways to do that are fairly extreme. As funding measures to the UN, you've got to threaten the 22% of the budget, the billions in discretionary that we send right. to the United Nations, the peacekeeping that we pay for to the UN. Yes, and he's going to need a lot of grassroots support, but it's why it's so relevant. This was not just a final move by Obama that can be undone easily by Congress or the president. This is not an executive order. It's executive action. This is more similar to the Iranian nuclear deal,
yeah.
but even more difficult to undo. I think we can, but there's pressure points there to undo that deal easier than the Security Council. What you can do is neutralize its
effectiveness. Yeah.
But we've already seen terror arise out of it.
Yeah. So look, I mean, you saw the attacks in Israel right after. I mean, the terrorists use this as a springboard to delegitimize Israel, and the Obama administration played right into it. Unfortunately, again, the United Kingdom blocked it. But the United Kingdom could have also blocked this whole resolution at when it first came up. They did not. But then what they saw was this was getting way out of hand. The Obama administration was up to other underhanded moves here regarding Israel, and they took action. All right, let's go take another call, Logan.
All right, actually, let's throw it to a comment. This came in and says, seems like the mainstream media, this is from Dallas, the mainstream media has been pretty silent on all of this.
Yes.
Why?
Because the mainstream media is in lockstep with the Obama administration, and they know it's failing. And I think, I will tell you this, and we talked about this during the break on Facebook and Periscope, but I think the mainstream media has had its day. And Logan, tell everybody what's about. I mean, there is a possibility of significant sea change on White House coverage that could impact even groups like us in a positive way.
Right. Yeah. There's news reports coming out. None of it's confirmed yet that the
you know, press briefings and all of that will now be available to beyond the traditional media. So we're talking about bloggers. We're talking about
radio
podcasters,
yep.
Other media that people are getting in different ways from both sides. So I think that's a huge shift, a great shift. Definitely be a bigger room full of people and a lot of different perspectives and points of view. So it won't just be the traditional 10 guys in suits. You know, I think you're going to have a lot of interesting characters come along.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else, folks, and a lot of you may know this and some of you may not. We're moving facilities in about a couple weeks to a much more, I guess, sophisticated production facilities, yep. Bigger facilities, where we're going to be able to come to you, I mean, literally multiple times during the day if news warrants. We're going to be doing other programming that you'll have available, some on radio, some on Facebook, some on Periscope, some on the website. So we're going to be doing, and this is, I think, we're in a whole new ballgame of media and media coverage, and we're going to utilize our resources to do just that. Let's grab another phone call.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rita. This call should be on hold a little while. Rita right. In Huntington.
Hey, Rita, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Hi, yeah. Guys.
Hi.
Thanks for everything you do. My
sure.
question is, with this two-state solution,
yeah.
I've always wondered why, since the Palestinians are Arabs and they come from those countries
right.
like Jordan, why doesn't Jordan give up part of its territory to let them have their own state?
Well,
I mean,
in a sense, Jordan lost that territory during the 67 war. Now, the Jordanians, who've been an ally of the United States and an ally of Israel, frankly, over the last 25 years, they are also in a position where they do not want to have a, and I think this is pretty clear, they don't want to take mass migration of Palestinians into theirs. They tried it. It did not work. It ended up with assassinations of King Abdullah's grandfather.
Yeah, so the Palestinians did not accept becoming Jordanians. They were offered that as a homeland. Jordan was welcoming. It's interesting because the kingdom does not have a lot wealthy when it comes to oil. It's one of the small patches there that does not have those kind of reserves, but was still welcoming to the Palestinian people. What did they do? And this has been an issue with those who have classified themselves as Palestinians. They engaged in an uprising. Similar things happen in Lebanon. They engaged in terrorism. So the Arab world has thrown them out.
Yep.
These are the individuals that have caused so much trouble inside the Muslim world that they've said, okay, Israelis, you can try to handle them. And I think that's why it's a big rallying cry for the
yep.
Muslim world, but no one wants them in their country.
Nope. That's exactly correct.
Which is why you ultimately maybe do want them to have their own place, but they've got to take a few steps. They're so radical, they won't take those steps.
They've got to recognize the Jewish state's right to exist or there's nothing to discuss. All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to let you know the multiple ways you can get the full hour of the broadcast. Many of you are hearing the full hour. Many of you do not. You only get the 30-minute version. Logan, let them know how they can do it.
That's right. If you want to watch live, log over to Facebook or Periscope or ACLJ.org. Just search for Jay Sekulow on Facebook or on Periscope. You'll find us broadcasting for the rest of the hour. If you are leaving us here, you can catch us later archived on the ACLJ app, on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, or over on ACLJ.org. The app's available also on Apple TV and on Roku, where you get to watch the show as well as all of our films and special and televisions and everything we've ever put up video-wise. It's all there for free on the Roku and Apple TV app. I think that's most of the ways.
All right. 345,902 of you have signed that petition to defend Israel. And the good news is we blocked that final resolution. We're not going to stop. We want to encourage you to keep signing at ACLJ.org because there's three more days left, 2.5, I guess, technically. So we're going to be on guard on this. ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. Continue to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org as well. We've got a brand new email coming out to you today. I encourage you to respond to that. Like us on Facebook. Back with more in a moment.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-31. One final move by this Paris Peace Conference that took place in Paris over the weekend. The United States voting for the resolution, which was, again, a reaffirmation of this return to the armistice lines, which would have been disastrous. Well, the good news is the United Kingdom blocked it. And we reached out to the United Kingdom, and this is where you come in. You know, we have had 350,000 signatures on that petition to stand with Israel. And Than, again, set this for everybody. It's very important you understand. We went to the other P5 countries hoping one would do exactly what the UK did and stand up and block it. When the UK blocked it, that means the European Union cannot adopt it, and it pretty much killed the resolution. Now, having said that, we're taking nothing for granted because there are still 72 hours left of this administration. Than?
Exactly correct, Jay. And it's almost humorous to hear the Obama administration try to take credit for this because their opportunity was the first time around to veto it. They did not do it. We reached out to the United Kingdom and Russia. And the United Kingdom, Jay, essentially said that they would not accept this closing declaration that I'm holding in my hands right now if it got back to the United Nations. Jay, if they hadn't done that, I guarantee you what we'd be talking about today is this text that I'm holding in my hand being debated in the Security Council as we speak with a vote scheduled for tomorrow. The United Kingdom deserves credit for that. And oh, by the way, I think the president-elect does as well because he was in communication with the United Kingdom as well. He showed the power of the United States, Jay, and he hasn't even taken the oath of office.
Yeah, interesting comment coming from Danny Danone. We're talking about this defunding of the United Nations. Here's what the Israeli ambassador said that Israel's going to do in light of all this.
In the wake of last month's resolution, we have decided that enough is enough. Israel has initiated a reassessment of our relationship with a number of UN organizations. Our first step is to suspend more than $6 million from our annual contributions to the UN for 2017. This amount represents a portion of the UN budget allocated to anti-Israel bodies, which represents the UN's double standard when it comes to Israel.
And the United States can do precisely the same thing, and that's the way to counter this security resolution.
But, you know, with our impact, is I think this is a bold move by Israel. Our impact is 22% of the general budget. So just off the top, a quarter of what the UN needs just to keep the lights on could be gone because the United States pulls funding. But Than, you've talked about that's really just the tip of the iceberg in the hundreds of millions. We provided, in the last year it was reported, $10 billion in discretionary funds to the UN. I mean, so if the 22% of hundreds of millions doesn't turn the lights on, there's no peacekeepers in the world without the U.S. Yep. There are no places for the diplomats to have their coffee and smoke cigarettes at the U.N., whether it's in Geneva or in New York. I mean, we could effectively, we're powerful enough. I'm not sure there's another country with the economy that could do it. We could effectively shut it down. Yep. I'm not saying destroy it forever, but shut it down temporarily.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Logan, do we have time for a call?
You can try if you want to. All right, let's go to Sylvia in Virginia.
Hey, Sylvia, go ahead. You're on the air.
Sylvia, you there?
Yes.
I don't think we got her, so unfortunately, I don't think we have time for a call this segment. We'll check on Sylvia. One person just said, they're so glad that you guys are moving to a better space, a better facility. I can't wait to watch every day. What about Gitmo? Someone said that. Is he still planning to release?
I think, listen, this is one we got to be on lookout for. I mean, I think if there's a move on Gitmo, maybe... Than, what are you hearing? I mean, I'm hearing that he's going to de-escalate it so significantly that there just may be a handful left. There already is just a handful left.
At least 18 more moving, Jay. I mean, the most recent notification was classified. We haven't been able to take a look, but I'm telling you what, it's going to be at least 18. I think it will be on Inauguration Day. And, Jay, if it's more than 18, we may have a violation of congressional notification. There might be a lawsuit on our hands.
And if there is, we'll be filing that lawsuit. We've already filed that lawsuit. We're getting response on that Iran lawsuit as well. All right, we're coming back. We're going to be joined by Wes Smith talking about General Mattis for Secretary of Defense. We haven't had a chance to really get into that one, and that all ties into this Israel situation as well, because the Secretary of Defense is going to be dealing with a lot when it comes to the Middle East. All right, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take comments as well, Logan.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110 or facebook.com/JaySekulow. We can get your comments in, and like we took many of them this last segment. We're going to continue to take more throughout the next half hour again. And log over to Facebook right now also for some exclusive videos we'll be running during the breaks that are coming up in the next few seconds.
We've got an email going out right now to our list that talks about this Israel situation. If you're not getting our emails, you need to sign up for them at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your comments in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Secular Band's version of the song Long Time. I'll tell you what, if you like the song Long Time, we'll play it for you at the end of the broadcast today. It's a long song, actually, but its lyrics are kind of fun. We may do a little mini concert thing for Friday night that we'll just release out on Facebook and Periscope with some of our freedom songs. All right, joining us right now is our senior military analyst, and that is Colonel Wes Smith. So, Colonel Smith, we have not had a lot of time to talk about General Mattis.
Right.
He's received his waivers. You wrote an article that we have, What We Need to Know About General Mattis. He's going to be inheriting a mess in the Middle East, Secretary of Defense. What's your assessment of him, and what do we need to know?
Yeah, I think General Mattis has a very realistic view of the world. And he's one of the nominees who is very open about calling radical Islamic terrorism by that name. And you've been talking about Israel. You know, Mattis's own record, not only during his confirmation hearings last week with the Senate committee, but also when he was commander of CENTCOM, a true friend of Israel. One of the things I've thought about as we've talked about Israel today is that when he was commander of U.S. Central Command, even though Israel is not part of Central Command's purview, he traveled to Israel repeatedly only because all the countries surrounding Israel are part of CENTCOM,
yep.
And he was concerned about Israel's security.
Yeah, it's going to be a marked change in that regard. Let's take a call here. Ron's calling from Winston-Salem. By the way, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Ron, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for having me on your show.
Sure.
I've been a former police officer, probation officer.
Yes, sir.
I heard Obama with his own words say Israel is supposed to go back to the pre 1967 borders,
right.
And I've lived in four countries around the world. I've been all around the world,
yep.
When the Berlin Wall came down. But he said pre-1967 borders would mean that Israel would give back the Golan Heights, the West Bank,
and East Jerusalem. Correct. So it's when they say the return to the 67 borders, they mean the return to the 67 borders before the June War. Which is a return to the armistice line. So those of you that like visiting the holy sites, guess what? They'll be in the control of Hamas. And John Kerry has spoken out exactly on this. Let me say it. Here, let's play it.
If the Arab world, writ large, and the Palestinians in particular, because everybody has said the parties have to arrive in an agreement, I guarantee you the Palestinians are not going to agree to less than a state based on 1967 lines with swaps. They're just not going
to
do that.
They're not going to agree to anything, John Kerry, that recognizes a Jewish state. Now, we're talking about the situation with Mattis. I want to get Wes and then Jordan to comment on this. You look at the situation that he's inheriting, and it's a mess. This is a guy that is well-read, well-studied, has served in the military for over 40 years, received a waiver from 80 members of the United States Senate. Probably won't get that in his confirmation. What do you see as his biggest obstacle to confirmation right now?
Yeah, I think probably his views on Iran and Russia. He's a little bit at odds with even President-elect Trump when it comes to Russia.
Yeah.
He sees Russia, and he's made this statement that even though ISIS and radical Islamic terror is a threat to Western civilization, he has said repeatedly that the long-term strategic threat to the world and to the United States is Iran and Russia.
Yeah.
And he's been very open about that. Concerning Israel and the borders, though, one of the things I remembered he said last week in his hearings in the Senate, he said that the perception is that the United States is indifferent to Israel's security concerns. And I thought that was a very telling statement.
Yeah, well, because it's I think hostile is more like it, the way the policies are. Go ahead, Jordan.
I think he's probably the nominee that will get the most votes. There may be some that come close as well, some that are not as high profile, Treasury, Commerce. But it ended up being, I think that there was, again, there was the noise made about him not have been out of the military for 7 years, been out for 3 years.
Right.
Got through both of those procedural hurdles very easily in the Senate and then the House. Obviously, the Senate will actually vote on this. The committee will vote on it first. I think he will be the least likely to be. I think he's going to be right in there. I mean, I don't know if it'll be day one or day two, but I don't expect the Democrats to even really try to delay on his like they will, certainly with Senator Sessions for
Attorney
General.
Who will get confirmed also.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think everybody's on path to confirmation.
Yep.
I'd say the question is, there's been some news about Tom Price, for HHS secretary and issues
there.
That will be whether he stays in the mix. I still think whoever goes through the process can get the votes to get through.
I have little doubt that Mattis will be confirmed.
Yeah. Dan, what are you hearing?
Yeah, the only hurdle that was the waiver. I mean, Wes is exactly right. The fact that he got 81 votes to overcome that hurdle, that was the opportunity to stop him if the Democrats were going to. The fact that he got 81 votes means he's going to be confirmed very easily. And by the way, Jay, I think all of the nominees that have had their hearings, I think they're all going to get confirmed.
I
think
agree.
The closest one will probably be Rex Tillerson because of, you know, Republican maybe hesitations. But even he, I think he's going to be confirmed as well.
I agree. I think he's going to be confirmed. I said, look, this is a warm-up for the Supreme Court of the United States. We're going to have a Supreme Court nominee in about 2.5 weeks. Maybe less. So get ready, folks. It's going to be buckle your seatbelt time. They're going to fight whoever the Supreme Court nominee, anybody on that list, they're going to attempt to filibuster. This is going to be a real battle. The question Senator Wicker asked, responded to by General Mattis on exactly what Wes was just talking about, this UN resolution that fortunately is not going to go any further because of the work that our offices did and others to block it in Paris. But let's take a listen to it.
In your opinion, what did the United States' failure last month to veto the UN resolution with regard to Israel due to our bilateral relationship with Israel?
I'd have to get back and look at that. I say that because I've read what's in the newspaper. I think we have got to restore a better relationship with Israel and with our Arab allies. I think there's a sense on their part that we are indifferent to the security situation that they face.
So that's a kind of a military response,
yes,
because we do have Arab allies that are wondering,
absolutely,
about where the United States is standing.
Right, yeah. General Mattis went on to say that we have what he calls strategic atrophy when it comes to both our enemies and our allies.
What does that mean?
That means that our allies are not sure of where we stand as far as supporting them and backing them. And it means that our enemies, you know, really don't see us as willing to take, you know, decisive action if certain, you know, lines are crossed.
Yeah, I think it's a big job. The Secretary of Defense is going to be a big job. Let's try to grab another call if we can. Paul's calling from Texas. He's on line 3. And by the way, we're going to take all your calls in the next segment of the broadcast. So we've got a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Paul, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Thank you for your work.
Sure.
I have signed I get all your petitions by email. I sign those, and I share them on Facebook with my friends, just to let you know.
By the way, we're up to 346,000 people have signed that Israel petition, and you saw the results of that with the UK blocking. So it makes a big difference. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, praise the Lord. In light of a resolution that does go through, what does Israel do?
Well, Israel's not going to negotiate its borders that way. They are willing to have bilateral discussions with the Palestinians with no preconditions. The Palestinian Authority, the problem is the Palestinian Authority is really controlled by Hamas, and Hamas calls for the destruction of Israel. So you've got, in a real sense, Jordan, I'll ask Jordan and Wes this, but my view is you've got a situation where it's a unilateral. You're negotiating with yourself because the other party will not even recognize your right to exist.
Well, that's right. I mean, really, until you get to these barriers I've been talking about during the show, the recognizing the Jewish state of Israel, recognizing the state of Israel as independent as a Jewish state in Jerusalem, you have to first get over this hurdle of the terrorist in charge of much of the Palestinian territory in the Gaza Strip. So the negotiations, even if they were to start tomorrow, would be between Israel and half of the Palestinians represented by the Palestinian Authority. The Gaza Strip would be completely left out. Because we're not obviously going to force Israel. Israel's not going to sit down and negotiate, nor will Hamas with. So, I mean, it's to a greater extent, it's a non-starter, and the Palestinian people can take on a lot of the blame. The majority, there's certainly people that are suffering
certainly
there.
The leadership as well.
Because they have embraced terrorist regimes. And when you embrace terrorist regimes, nothing good happens on your house.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
It is. How do you negotiate with someone who refuses to admit that you have a right to exist?
Yeah,
and
you
how
don't.
And how do you negotiate with someone who are they're backed by Iran, which we've made a deal with,
right.
And Iran says that they want to remove Israel from the map.
You can't. I mean, facts of the matter, you can't. So under General, let's finish it up with General Mattis here. On Iran, what is his view on Iran?
He sees Iran as being a strategic threat to the United States. You mentioned this in your book, Unholy Alliance. He sees the partnership of Iran and Russia as being our primary threat strategically. And, you know, there's been a lot of things in the news lately about NATO and comments about NATO. And I know President-elect Trump has taken some hits for talking about, that they're obsolete or whatever. But the first person that really called NATO obsolete was President Obama last March in an interview with The Atlantic in March of 2016. He's the one who accused NATO partners of being freeloaders.
There you go.
And so it wasn't really the president-elect. It was the president who said that. And General Mattis, and I bring this up because when this came up, General Mattis said, for a president-elect to accuse our allies of being freeloaders, and these were his words, is nuts.
Yeah, there you go. That's something you're not going to hear anywhere else. We got that information. Thanks, Wes. All right, we come back. It's your calls. Lines are jammed right now, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You're doing that. It makes a big difference. ACLJ.org. Also, like us on Facebook. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Even the J. Secular Band has a page, so we encourage you to do that at aclj.org. We'll be back with more of your comments. Also, we've got an email that's going out. If you're not getting our emails, you really need to sign up for those at aclj.org. And follow us on Twitter as well. We get a lot of information. And as I said, moving to new facilities in about 2.5-3 weeks can make a big difference on what we'll be able to give you content-wise each and every day. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
People are asking why the band is not playing at the inauguration. We're pretty busy. And those guys tour a lot. So, anyways, we are going to play the song for you at the end.
You didn't deny that you were asked.
Huh?
Did you deny if you were asked?
I did not deny if we were asked. I'm just saying we're not. But we may do something for you on Friday night, play some of our freedom songs for you and play that out on Facebook and Periscope. Let's go ahead and take calls. We got a lot of them coming in.
All right, let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. You can call in too, 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines are opening. Anthony, you're on the air.
Hey, go ahead.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had a question. I heard you touch base on it a little bit before, but I'm curious. The Trump administration has talked about actually pulling out of the UN altogether, and I'm wondering, you know, do we really gain from being there? It almost seems like we financially is more of a burden.
Look, here's how I view it. Look, the UN, which sometimes could stand for completely unnecessary, but the fact is it's a world body, so we have to engage it. Do we have to support it with financial dollars? No, I don't think so. Not the way we do. We could certainly do what Israel do and cut back, and that's going to send a message. Because right now the UN is run by the Organization of the Islamic Conference. But they don't supply all the money. We supply about 22%. So the fact of the matter is, our 22% gets out, guess what? Those Gulf states aren't going to do it. So we need to start acting tough. I have no doubt with Nikki Haley as our UN ambassador, she will be tough, and she will be tough to negotiate with on our behalf, which is exactly right. And we're not going to be rolled over by the United Nations.
I think one thing that will change is that you will be able to, when you watch these proceedings, you'll clearly understand where the U.S. is coming from when they agree and disagree. There's been a lot of diplomatic doublespeak. The only times there's really been confrontation at the U.N. has been this kind of, and it's juvenile sounding, between the U.S. and Russia. Samantha Powers and the Russian ambassador, and it didn't seem very tough and not forthright, not clear. We need a clear policy from day one, and Donald Trump's, like him or not, has assembled a team which is certainly going to have that, and they're going to present him with all the options. He is the commander-in-chief. He will make the final call, but I think what you'll see is a united front in the cabinet from Donald Trump once it makes it to coming out into the public. There will, of course, be discourse and discussion before then.
What are you hearing, Than, in Washington, specifically on UN funding? What is being proposed right now?
Well, I think you're going to hear the plan from Nikki Haley herself tomorrow when she has her confirmation hearing, but I think it's going to be two-pronged. The first prong is going to be Congress. They're going to attack that 22% of the general fund and the 28% of the peacekeeping fund. I think both of those things will probably take a knock. But from the administration, Jay, what I would expect is a drawdown on the roughly $8 billion of voluntary contributions they make. He doesn't need authorization from Congress to revisit that going forward. And, Jay, I think in this upcoming year, he's going to start pulling back on a number of those voluntary contributions.
Let me also play Samantha Powers, our outgoing UN ambassador, on the funding issue.
This would be extremely detrimental to U.S. interests. The only beneficiaries of our pullback of funding from the UN would be countries like China and Russia.
Actually not. So that's just not true. And
China and Russia would put this kind of money up?
Of course not, because they're much smarter.
First of all,
as the president would say, they're much better business deals
Russia
than
Russia doesn't have the economy to even come close.
Not.
And I'm not sure the Chinese do either, because so much of the currency is inflated, they'd have to put it down. They also don't care that much about human rights. They don't care that much about freedoms that the UN is about protecting. So to imagine
you can fund the stuff you want to fund directly, as Than pointed out.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I think it's more about pushing the UN as a body and getting some action done. The U.S. needs to reassert itself diplomatically. I'm not talking about going to war. Diplomatically reassert ourselves in the world as the world leader, as the superpower that we are.
You know, Benjamin Disraeli famously said that diplomacy can be war without violence because it can be force without violence. And that's actually true. All right, Logan, let's grab these other calls.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Joanne, or Joni, I'm sorry, calling in New Hampshire.
Hi, Joni, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, love love you guys.
Thanks.
I'm calling to ask what, if you think Obama's going to pardon Hillary, how that would influence his legacy, and how the voters would react in the future to the Democratic Party.
So do I think there is a chance that he pardons Hillary Clinton? I think there is a chance. We're not hearing a lot about it, but you will not hear about it till literally after he is flying back to Palm Springs after the inauguration, which is where the president will then be, the former president will be going. I
for
do think there's,
a,
and I think that, yeah, he'll be back in D.C. And then I think that there's others that may get pardoned as well. So it will not shock me. What the political fallout of it will be, not sure. For the Democrats, it probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference at this point. I think that, you know, does it affect his legacy? I think he looks at his legacy as Obamacare, which is about to go, and the Iran deal, which also is about to go. So his legacy's in real trouble.
Yes, what legacy, I guess, is the question. Yeah. I mean, with Obamacare gone, you can have a bad legacy. And it for 8 years, there's not much, again, to talk about when it comes to domestic policy. It's just Obamacare. That will be gone. The other actions were all taken through executive order, executive
right.
action. They will all be undone within the first 24, 72 hours of the Trump administration.
Donald Trump said he's going to start working on Monday.
Yes.
He's going to celebrate over the weekend with the American people and then starts working Monday. So
yes.
I think next Monday we'll know what's going on.
And then, of course, when it comes to foreign policy, he will point to the Iranian nuclear deal. And most of us see that as a complete failure from the United States.
Also, he is Donald Trump, which stands a little bit unusual move here, has demanded all of the resignations from all of the foreign diplomats. But that tells you he wants a complete reset on how America is viewed globally.
It's absolutely the right move, Jay, because it has to be a 180-degree turnaround. And if those personnel aren't pulled back, you can't turn the policy around because, Jay, as you've written about, personnel is policy.
Exactly correct. All right, Logan, let's grab these last two calls.
All right, let's go to Diane in Newport Beach. You're on the air.
Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about President Obama and why he's doing all these things here at the end.
Yeah.
And I think when he lost it, when Hillary lost the election, that he realized his agenda would not be carrying on ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely 100% correct. I think there's, and I think he will try to be, as you're pointing out, I see in the call screen here that you also think that that's why Donald Trump is going to be hearing from President Obama, the former president, when he's back in Washington. I think he's going to try to do that. They've got to recalibrate who they are right now. They've got very little time to do it.
Yes, they the Democrats, I think we've seen this through the confirmation hearings. They have been totally disjointed. They're not united in messaging. They seem all over the place. They don't have a leader. Remember, the DNC, it was all what was uncovered was that everybody hated each other and was attacking each other. So there's no trust there, not a lot of love lost there. And I think they will look to President Obama. He is probably the only leader right now who can keep them together to be a voice. And he has said, unlike other past presidents, this will not be the end of President Obama come Friday. You're not going to just see him in a few closed-door speeches and maybe 10 years from now. You're going to see him, I think, often criticizing Donald Trump, pressuring Donald
Let's
Trump.
Let's grab the last call.
All right, Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, go.
Yeah, I'm wondering about defunding the UN. I've heard that is dangerous because it would create a vacuum for Russia and or China.
Yeah, here's the problem. The vacuum is the Organization of the Islamic Conference is running the United Nations right now. Russia and China don't have the economy to do anything other than placate this body. I'm not saying we should abandon the UN completely, but I think we've got to have, quote, a reset and a reset that's serious. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. For Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. We're going to play that tune for you from Boston, the Jay Sekulow Band version of it. Logan, let everybody know how they can get more information.
That's right. Go to ACLJ.org to find everything, or directly facebook.com. Just go search for Jay Sekulow, American Center for Law and Justice. Lots of other ways you can find us.
You're
also
not gonna go through the whole list
today. You can find them all. Twitter, find us every social media outlet. You can find us there. Also, the Jay Sekulow Life podcast available on iTunes and the ACLJ app. The easiest way to sign each and every petition to be a part of the ACLJ. Get the app on iPhone, Roku, and Apple TV.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.